Hello, and welcome to Get More Referrals Now with your host from The Ideal Networker, Casey Eberhardt.
Well, I want to just welcome you guys to one of the coolest topics I've ever got to talk about and really hone down on a skill that I have somewhat mastered in the sense that the vast majority of my business comes from referrals. I do some marketing, but really my marketing is secondary. My marketing really is to attract the type of referral partners that I want and know can assist me in taking my business to the complete next level. What I've done is I've actually outlined my entire process and came up with some examples that I'm going to share with you in order to help you get more referrals. So to kind of give you an idea of how this is going to work, we're going to go through a six-step system or process that you can use. And if you start implementing this overall process, the goal is that you're going to create an unlimited flow of quality prospects. You're not going to have to do cold calls. You're going to actually have people calling you back. And on top of that, you're going to create a powerful sales team that's going to go out and you're going to be able to leverage that referral center, or that center of influence, okay? So here are kind of the big bullet points, and then we'll come through and fill them out. So the first one we're going to do is we're going to talk about enhancing your referability. The second one we're going to talk about is how to actually prospect for referrals. The third area we're going to talk about is how to network strategically. The fourth area we're going to talk about is target niches, and we're going to use the cliche, get rich in your niche. The fifth one we're going to talk about is how to put the whole thing together. And then the sixth thing is what I like to call lather, rinse, repeat. Okay? So we're going to go ahead and get started. And remember, this is all about referrals. This process, if you will, can be used in whatever business you're in. It doesn't matter to me if you're in network marketing or real estate or direct sales. This is an overall mindset. It's an overall way of being that if you can focus in on this and really kind of clunk down and make this work for you, it saves you a whole lot of time, saves you a whole lot of money, and it makes business actually really, really fun. So let's go ahead and get started. Let's talk about referrals. All they really are relationships that are leveraged out, if you will, by somebody that becomes a raving fan of yours and then sends you business, or at least sends you leads. And that's what we're really talking about. Because you've heard me talk about this over and over and over again, that relationships are everything. And right now, you see that in social media. We are actually having a backlash in social media right now, because when social media first came out, everybody was all like, oh, great, this is a really cool place to hang out. Then we moved to the place where it became a great marketing tool, so everybody just posted their links everywhere, and it was generating some results. And now we're having a backlash back to social media being actually a social environment rather than just a marketing environment. So relationships really are everything, okay? And in order to generate referrals, I believe that you have to have a referral mindset. This is just about as much in your head as it is what's on paper. So I can give you a step-by-step thing, but if you don't have the mindset, if your heart's not in it, none of this is going to work. Just a very quick story. I remember when I was talking to somebody at an internet marketing event, and we were talking about one of the ways I thank people is I like to send birthday cards. I'm just a geek that likes to send birthday cards. And I remember this guy asking me if I split tested birthday cards to determine whether or not people came into my business based on the different color of ink I used in the card to wish somebody happy birthday. And right there is when it dawned on me that his business was so in his head that he skipped his heart. And I literally looked at him and I said, his name happened to be Jason. I remember that. And I said, Jason, as soon as you get your business out of your head and put it in your heart, your business will explode. And he actually wrote me 3 months later, and his fiance was standing right next to us, and they had had a big conversation. He had changed his way, and his business, in fact, had exploded. He's in network marketing, and he became one of the top recruiters in his company based on just that small little comment. So sometimes it just takes somebody saying, okay, look, settle down. Let's take it into a mindset. So we're going to be talking about mindset quite a bit in this. So this is going to be sort of a how-to, but it's also going to be a mindset shift for you, okay? So the first thing that we need to talk about is how do we enhance our referability, right? No one's going to refer you somebody if you're a jerk or a tool. It's just not going to happen. Think about it. How many times would you refer your mom or your grandmother or your nana or your business coach to somebody who you don't really like or you don't really know or you don't really trust or you're not really secure in how they're going to treat your referral? Okay? So BNI, which stands for Business Networking International, is Ivan Meisner's creation. It's one of the largest networking organizations in the world, certainly the most successful on the planet worldwide. And their entire mission, their entire focus is done with two words, and that's giver's gain. Okay? I like to say serve others, giver's gain, whatever little catchphrase you need to keep you in the mindset of generating referrals. When I have a conversation about business, the number one thing that's going through my head, regardless whether I'm talking about a product I sell, a service I sell, or any conversation, I always have in my head, my conversation is either going to turn this person into a raving fan who they're going to refer me business, or it's going to repel them and push me away. You have to keep that in mind. So we need to enhance our referability. One of the ways we do that is we serve others. According to Ivan Meisner, givers gain. It works. Givers gain. The more you give out, the more you get back. Some people say for what you put out into the world, you get back tenfold, right? So you give out negative energy, you get it back tenfold. You put out positive energy, you get it back tenfold. You always have to try to exceed the expectations of the other person, okay? And I'm going to give you a great example just because it happened today in social media. I have a great friend, Cara, who sent me a little private email, and she said, hey, her question to me was, hey, do you need one more candle because I'm so close to a sales goal, right? Now, Cara, for those of you that don't know her, Cara is somebody I met through a friend of a friend of a friend. She's invited me to speak at her functions up in Northern California, and because of that, she's been such a raving fan of mine that she's asked me to speak at multiple events of hers, and we've just developed a great friendship. So I went on Facebook today, and instead of just buying a candle from her and being done with it, I actually went on Facebook and said, hey, I have a friend who needs some assistance to hit a massive sales goal, and anybody that buys a candle from her, I'm going to give a copy of my book to. Now, it's going to cost me some money because I've already got several emails of people that have already bought candles from Cara, but the few dollars it's going to cost me to send out books for supporting Cara, I look like an absolute hero to Cara. I also look like a hero to all the people I'm sending books to, because who does that? Not very many people are going to go out of their way to promote somebody else with nothing to gain from it and take money out of their pocket to help support somebody. So that's a place where I am trying to exceed Cara's expectations. Cara had the expectation that she knows me well enough to know that I'm going to buy a candle from her, right? Because she knows I burn candles. But she had no idea that I was going to go on and not only promote her on this call in this product, but also by giving somebody an incentive to actually helping her out. Okay? The second thing is you have to put your attitude of service into action. It's okay to have an attitude of service, but if you don't act on it, it's useless, right? And that goes whether you're talking on the phone. You know, one of the things that drives me crazy is when I hear people say, like, what do you want to drink? What do you want to eat? Like, at restaurants, it drives me absolutely bonkers. Instead of saying, hey, good afternoon, welcome to blah, 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 is there anything I can get you to make your day better? Maybe a nice cold lemonade or an iced tea, maybe a tequila shot, you know, whatever. So put the attitude of service into action, whether it's your phone message, whether it's in your emails. Whatever you do, you have to have the attitude of service in your head, in action, all the time. Now, this is another one. This is one of my favorite ones, and that is that make them go, wow, right? Make your customers, make your clients go, wow. One of the things that always amazes me is I talk to a lot of reps from the company Avon, and one of the things that is consistent through their training is make their customers go, wow. So you order something from Avon, someone's going to hand deliver it to your house. You got to make your customers go, wow. And here's the thing. Some of my best customers have been people that started out with a really bad complaint, okay? So I always take those complainers and turn them into awesome clients. And I want to give you a great example. I actually read this example in a book, but it's such a cool little story of how somebody was able to take their attitude of service, put it into action, exceed expectations, and at the same time create a raving fan out of somebody that was a complainer and actually ended up making them go, wow. It was the story of this dry cleaner, okay? And this dry cleaner had a tailor in the shop there. And a guy came in with a pair of pants and needed them hemmed up. And for whatever reason, there was a time constraint, and the dry cleaner didn't do it right, okay? And it was a Friday. And the customer needed the things on Saturday, but the dry cleaner wasn't open until Monday. So he got the pants back. Somehow there was a huge mistake in how they were done or whatever. And the guy ended up calling the owner of the dry cleaner at home, screaming and yelling because he had messed up this pair of pants, and the pair of pants was going to be they needed for some meeting or whatever. So the owner of the dry cleaner took that as a attitude of service, had that attitude in his head, wanted to exceed expectations. So he drove down to his shop and met the customer. The customer came in, was totally angry, but the owner said, you know what, I'm going to sit here and do this myself right here in the store so we can get you at your meeting. Well, what ended up happening was next to the dry cleaner in the same shop, he also owned a little suit shop. The tailor made suits, business suits. So while the customer, who's really angry, was waiting for his suit to be tailored, he actually ended up, based out of boredom, looking through different suits. Hopefully you know where the story is going. Because the owner came in and took such an active role in getting the problem solved, the guy ended up buying several suits that day. And it was a way that an attitude of service put into action, making him go, wow, exceeding expectations, turned somebody that was a jerk into an awesome client. So, enhance your referability. Number two, we've got a prospect for referrals. And there are lots of trainers out there that say things like, if you don't ask, you don't get, right? But I don't ask unless I feel I deserve it, okay? So we have some things that we can do to help prospect for some referrals, right? We got to plant seeds. When I talk to somebody, I let them know that I work on a referral basis, and I like to work with referrals. I like to work with friends of friends, quite frankly, because I don't like working with strangers. It's just weird for me. I'm not a big cold caller, so for me, it's just not how I'm made up. I'd rather work with my friends, and if I'm not friends with them, I always operate with the assumption of, would I go on vacation with this person? Okay. Now, clearly there are some people that I work with that I may not want to go on vacation with, but it's kind of a litmus test. Okay, so I plant the seeds. Okay, the next thing is I only ask for referrals at the right time, right? If you ask for a referral at the wrong time, people are going to give you resistance. They're going to tell you no. Like, I have a friend that's a realtor that every single piece of paper she ever sends out, there's stickers all over, envelopes, everywhere she's basically advertising that she wants referrals. But the reality is she's not very good. She doesn't return phone calls. She thinks she's a little bit fancier than she is. And she gets mad because I won't pass her referrals. But I have no confidence, if you will, that she's going to deliver the service that I expect if I send my mom or my grandmother or my best friend to her. So you got to ask for it at the right time. If you find the resistance, you can overcome it, right? So if you ask somebody for a referral, you have to do it in kind of a you have to earn the referral. One of the things that I do is I actually have a prospect profile. So earlier we were talking about my business coach, Yvonne, right? Yvonne and I are a great team. Yvonne is my business coach, and I am a big referral partner for her. I feed her a ton of referrals, whether I do calls for them, whether I give her names and phone numbers of my friends, because she's earned it. She knows exactly what I expect when I send a referral to her, and I have 100% confidence in how she's going to treat that referral, ultimately bringing a higher level of business consciousness to their existence, and therefore it's a good match. Okay? So I have a prospect profile. There are elements of people that I love working with and elements that I don't. So when I'm talking to somebody and I'm asking for a referral, what I'm doing is I'm giving them that prospect profile and asking them if they know somebody inside of that. Let me give you an example. for those of you that are in network marketing or direct sales, and at the end of your presentation, if somebody says, it's not really for me, you need to be able to figure out how to turn that into at least a referral so that your time isn't wasted. So rather than saying, well, who do you know that would dig this? Or who do you know that's looking for another way to make some money? How about this? Hey, after I've just shown you this great presentation in send-out cards, after you've seen this presentation, is there anybody that you think that could absolutely use this in their business, keeping in mind that we're a computer-based system and that we love working with people that are already into the idea of client retention and exceeding everybody's expectations? I've given them specific trigger points for them to lead down the path of exactly who I want to work with. I don't want to work with somebody, if I'm doing a send-out card presentation, I don't want to work with somebody that doesn't have a computer. Or if I'm doing a Numis presentation about silver and gold coins, I don't want to do that to somebody that has no idea about the coin market. Okay? So have a prospect profile in mind. Okay? When you get introduced, there's an art to this. I always ask very specific questions, and when I get introduced to somebody, I am going to ask the other person, A, if I have the permission to use their name, B, if there's something that I can do to help them make that introduction, whether it's maybe me sending them an email that they can forward to their friend, if it's something that maybe we can do a three-way call together. But I want the other person, the person giving me the referral, the raving fan, to know that I'm treating their person the best I possibly can. Okay? And one of the things that I like to tell people is, I give really great referral, you know, and I know that sounds kind of goofy, but I do. Somebody passes me a referral or gives me a referral, man, I got to tell you, they give me that referral because they know that I'm going to probably treat that referral even better than I treat them. Because I know that if I do that, I'm going to have a better likelihood that they're going to pass me another referral. So you want to plant seeds, ask for the referrals at the right time, find the resistance to overcome it, have a prospect profile in place, get introduced, ask specific questions, and give great referral. You can't treat somebody's referrals bad, otherwise, guess what? Never going to happen again, okay? And you want to create some raving fans out of people. Yvonne, my business coach, has done a fantastic job of creating a raving fan in me. One, because I generate results for my own self. Two, I've created a raving fan in Yvonne because I can deliver her great referrals. I know her prospect profile. I know who's going to be a good prospect for her. I know who's not going to be a good prospect for her. She has leveraged me in such a way that we've created a great partnership. Okay? So, let's see, where are we? We are at number 3, network strategically. And this is one of those things that I talk about, and I've done entire workshops on this, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but you've got to figure out how, if we're going to be in the mindset of generating referrals, and we're going to rely on people giving us referrals to talk to, we better figure out who the best referral partners are. So I network very, very strategically. I know that on Facebook, there is a handful of people that are such raving fans of me that when I post something and say I need some help, they're going to go on Facebook and they're going to repost what I say, or they're going to retweet what I tweet. I build a sales force. Now, here's the other thing. I'm also a great referral partner. My niche is being a connector. People call me all day long and go, hey, do you know a realtor? Do you know a pest control person? Do you know somebody that fixes cars? Who do you know that does great graphic arts? And when I give out a referral, I'm very clear. I say what my expectations are. I give the person a few sentences about it. I gave a referral again. I know I'm talking a lot about Yvonne today, but I gave Yvonne a referral today, and I told Yvonne who this person was, what their job was, what their background was. I pretty much walked Yvonne right through how to talk to the referral. And I have 100% confidence that she did exactly that if they ended up talking. But here's the other thing. When I give referrals, I always give multiple referrals of the same thing. So if somebody calls me and says, hey, who do you know that's a great realtor? Who's a great realtor in Los Angeles? Right? Instead of just giving somebody one referral, I'm going to actually give them multiple referrals. I'm going to say, hey, you know what, John? Let me give you 4 or 5 great realtors. And what I'm going to ask is that when you call these people, please tell them that I gave you the referral. I want my name mentioned. And also, please tell them that I said that you asked me who the top realtor was I knew, and I gave them their number. That way, I'm leveraging myself out 5 times, and I also don't have the responsibility. If John talks to one realtor, they do a business deal, and it goes bad, I want to just give them options of people to talk to. Okay, so I also give really great referral. Okay, networking strategically, right? So when I'm at an event, I'm there to ask questions. I'm auditioning people to be in my network. That's it. So in my head, I just was talking to a friend yesterday, and he was saying, well, how do I know what to ask people when I'm at a networking event? I said, very easy. I can give you 2 great tools to be able to use. When I go to a networking event, I'm only really looking to talk to 5 different people at that event. Doesn't matter what kind of event it is, I'm looking for 5 people. 5 people are very specific. I'm looking for the organizer of the event because they know who everybody is. I'm looking for the speaker, if there's a speaker at the event, because they can talk to me from stage. I mean, think about this. Is Yvonne not excited that I'm a good referral partner for her? I've got hundreds of people on this call right now that everybody's hearing me talk about Yvonne. Same with Cara, right? They want to know the speaker. They've done a great job. My friend Mary Lou. Mary Lou cuts my hair. She's one of the most amazing people. She helps kids not have cancer over cell phones. I mean, and she works with superfood products. She's unbelievable. She knows that every time I get in front of a room, I'm going to bring her up. You know, I have another lady named Deanna who works with Arbonne. Deanna, she probably makes more money just from sitting in audiences where I am because she knows I'm going to talk about her at every event. She's done a great job of giving me great referral. Okay? And then I talk to the 3 yappers. And I call them yappers just because I think it's kind of funny. But the yappers are the people that know everybody in the event. You all know who they are. They're kind of the loud ones. They're the ones that are really well connected. They're usually telling jokes. But you want to get to know those people. And then I refer them back and forth and introduce them. Okay? While I'm at the event, the other thing I do in my head is I remember the word form. It's just an acronym, F-O-R-M. A lot of sales trainers use it. It's a great tool, right? Form stands for Family, Occupation, Recreation, Money. So when I'm asking questions at networking events, now most of you know I don't take business cards to networking events. I'm only there to audition people to decide whether or not I want to work with them. I'm not there to advertise or sell my stuff at all. I'm literally looking at who I can give a referral to so I can start that referral process, right? I'm always looking for how I can proactively build a referral partner rather than just trying to take. Remember, givers gain. Okay? So, form. If I'm talking to you, there is a very high likelihood that you're going to ask me what I do, and I'm not going to tell you. Not because I don't want to tell you, but it's not really my place. I'm there to find out more about you. So the first question I'm going to say is, hey, so are you married? Are you not married? Do you have a partner? Do you have a boyfriend? Do you have a girlfriend? You know, that kind of stuff. Where do you live? Where are you from? Then I'm going to go to occupation. Hey, how'd you get involved? I see your name tag. You're with State Farm Insurance. How'd you get involved in the insurance business? Oh, really? Oh, cool. You got involved because you like to ride motorcycles? Cool. Where's your favorite place to ride motorcycles? Recreation. Okay. And then money is the economy hitting you hard? Is the economy hitting you bad in the business? And as soon as I get done with the M, in my head, I just go right back to the F. F-O-R-M-F, F-O-R-M-F, and I just go right back cycling it through. That way I never get stuck in having to come up with another question. I know that in my head, if I'm talking to you and I just get done talking to you about your occupation, the next question that comes out of my mouth is going to be about some sort of recreation. So it's about networking strategically. And then after the event, I always try to follow up with the people that I think are really cool. And by following up, I like to give them a call. I like to get together with them for coffee. I like to send them a thank you card. I like to send them, you know, a little gift. I like to post something on Facebook, whatever. I want to create a raving fan out of them before I ever ask of them anything. So let's just review this network strategically again. We're trying to build a sales force. I'm going to give out tons of referrals. I remember form, family, occupation, recreation, money. And at the event itself, I'm going to go there with the intention of only spending a little bit of time getting to know five different people: the speaker, the organizer, and three yappers, or three influencers. And then I'm going to introduce those guys or women together, find out who the players are, and then once I've done that, then I can go and enjoy the Triscuit and cheese cubes in the back. Okay? But when I'm at an event, I'm really there for the first hour or so to work. And I don't work much past an hour. Okay? And then after the event, that's when I want to follow up with the people that I met at the event. See, a lot of people go to the event trying to sell their product to people that aren't there to buy the product because they're there to sell the product. I've never known, very rarely have I ever seen somebody buy a house at a Chamber of Commerce meeting. I've not seen a whole lot of people go to a chamber meeting and sit down with an insurance person that they've never met before, and the insurance person did such a good job that somebody sits down and changes their car insurance right there at the chamber meeting. Yet everybody goes there to try to sell something. So if you go and you're the listener, trust me, you're going to be very, very popular. And everyone's going to want to give you their business card, and that's why I don't take business cards. I don't hand my business card out to a lot of people because I don't want to be contacted by everybody. I want to be in control of the conversation. I want to be in control of the information. And the people that I want to connect with, I'm going to connect with anyways, and then I don't get a bunch of spam because I'm on a bunch of people's email list. Next up, let's talk niches. This is a really, really interesting topic for me, and it's about niches. And there's an old cliche, get rich in your niche. And I used to think it was actually kind of immature and childish and kind of dorky, and never really understood niches. But what's fascinating is in my business experience in the last few years, I've really developed myself into a couple of different niches that I'm really well known in. And because I'm well known in, I speak the language. One of them, for example, is realtors. I work very well with realtors. One, because I've bought and sold many different houses, so I understand their lingo, I understand their language, I understand their problems, and therefore I can solve those problems with the various products that I sell. Okay, so let me give you a great example of how not understanding your niche could come back to haunt you. Realtor is two syllables. It's not three syllables. It is not a realtor. It's realtor. Okay? Most people, I've said this at many, many events, and some people roll their eyes at me like I'm crazy. But the reality is that if you go and talk to your favorite realtor and say, hey, is it realtor or realtor? 100% of the time, they will tell you that it's realtor, and most of them will tell you it's actually irritating to them when you call them a realtor. To the point where I was in front of about 100 to 150 realtors one night doing a presentation, and this was when I first started, and I kept saying realtor. And the manager stopped me in the presentation and actually said, you know what, Casey, just because people kind of get weird about this, I just want to let you know that it's actually not a realtor, it's realtor. And I kind of rolled my eyes like, okay, I didn't take the note, as it were. Okay, I wasn't committed to learning their language. I wasn't committed to understanding their problems. What I was committed to was doing my presentation to sell something to them. I'd lost my attitude. So I kept referring to them as realtors. And it made me look stupid. It made me look dumb. It made me look like I didn't listen. And in fact, he actually cut me short and kicked me off stage in a polite way, but made it very clear that it was because I had not listened to the niche telling me how to talk to them. So you want to go where your niche is. So pick your niche, whatever it is. If you want to sell something to teenagers, then, well, for starters, good luck on that. But you're going to get rich in your niche. So you've got to go where your prospects or your niche is. You got to go where they go, right? So one of the things I love doing on the weekends, I love going to open houses. Anywhere I am in the country, on a Saturday or Sunday, there's a very high likelihood that you're going to see me going to open houses because I just love real estate. I love watching it. I love talking about it. I love talking to the agents. They make good clients for me. So go where your prospects are. Meetup groups. I've talked about meetups many, many times. You've got to go find your meetup groups. Meetup.com is just a place where people can post meetings that happen. You've got to go hang out where your prospects are. So if you are a quilt maker or you sell yarn, you've got to go hang out with people that use yarn. I have a good friend that loves fly fishing. He does not stop talking about fly fishing. 24 hours a day, the dude is talking about fly fishing. Where does he hang out? Tackle shops, campgrounds, docks, because he knows that that's where other people into fly fishing are going to hang out. If I was going to sell something to people in the fly fishing industry, I'd have to strap on hip waders and go hang out where the prospects are. Okay? Same with social media. It just fascinates me that people are selling stuff online and they're not even hanging out where the prospects are. In Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever, there are groups where your prospects hang out. My gosh, there are bazillions of different groups of people that are interested in that particular topic. So if you're into selling energy drinks and you are into fitness, you might go hang out where all the fitness folks are, right? You got to go where they are. You got to go hang out at the stores where they are, okay? And then you want to have somebody let you in the door. I was reading this whole thing about this concept of, think about it, you're in a lane of traffic. A niche is a street, okay? And you're going down this street and you're trying to get into this niche, but no one's going to let you in. But if you just turn your blinker on and try to swerve in, you're going to end up getting in a wreck. It's going to be a disaster. But if you roll your window down, catch somebody's eye, make a face like, hey, can you let me in? And then they let you in and you wave. Remember, we've enhanced our referability, we've exceeded expectations, we've had an attitude of service into action, and we make them go, wow, they let us over, and now we're inside that niche, right? So going back to my real-life example, I have a friend who introduced me to Cara. Cara happens to be the chapter president of the DSWA, which is the Direct Selling Women's Alliance, up in Vacaville, California. Because of my relationship with Cara, Cara introduced me to a woman by the name of Karen Clark. Karen Clark is a huge social media expert. She's absolutely fantastic and phenomenal at what she does. She happens to run the region of the DSWA. So I gave her a call. We met. Cara let me into that world. And now we're having access right to the head of the entire DSWA. I happen to be working with a great team of Tupperware reps. I happen to work really well in direct sales. So I was introduced to a couple of the Tupperware reps. They introduced me to their team leader. Their team leader was gracious enough to have me to one of their trainings and did a training. Stephanie was absolutely fantastic. She put me in touch, and now I'm going to be doing a huge regional event, all because somebody let me into that niche. Okay? Sort of like show business. You got to break into that niche, but once you're in, if you deliver the goods, and I promise you, 99.9% of the people do not think of all this kind of stuff before they go into a friendship or a relationship. So find somebody that lets you in, okay? You've got to read what they read. Remember, birds of a feather flock together. And I love using cliches because they're actually so cheesy, but they're true, right? So for me, I read every magazine in real estate. I read every magazine in networking. I subscribe to Networking Times. I do some affiliate marketing, so I work with all those trade rags, right? I want to go where they go. I want to read what they read so I understand their language. And I like to contribute to those publications. It sets me apart. So if there's something that I can do to help that publication, or I think I have something to say that's going to help that publication, I want to contribute to it, okay? And then here's the thing. You got to get some testimonials from the leaders in that industry. Okay, I have a good friend, Cedric Harris. I happen to work with internet marketers and direct sales and network marketers a lot. Cedric is one of the top leaders in that entire profession and industry. Not only do I have testimonials from Cedric that give me huge credibility, but I've given him credibility and him testimonials that they're actually using a testimonial video from me as the number one or number two testimonial for their entire company with this internet suite of tools. Okay? So you got to get testimonials from leaders. Edward Tolomoso gave me a testimonial for my 147. I have a product out called 147 Ways to Generate Leads. Edward did a great blog post. He's given me great testimonials. He's a leader in his profession. That goes a huge way for me. Jason Regan, another one. Huge network marketer, really into fitness, down in Dallas. I couldn't have asked for a better testimonial. I can leverage that testimonial because Jason is an industry leader. Edward is an industry leader. Cedric, an industry leader. Because those guys are willing to give me a testimonial, I can now use those testimonials to my advantage because they're going to let me break in to their niche, if that makes sense. Okay? You need to have focus on your goals and their needs, focus, and goals. Right? So I'm always looking for how do I support those guys, especially Jason actually sent me an unsolicited testimonial via video for the 147 project that was absolutely so heartfelt and awesome. It was unbelievable. I was like, okay, that's really cool because I've created a raving fan and we're mutual fans of each other. So anytime that I can pass something off to him, I will. Same with Edward, right? Okay, so get rich in your niche. Okay, number five, we're going to put this whole thing together. That's because when you do it right, people are going to spread the word about you. And you'll know that people are spreading the word about you very easily. If you're on Twitter, go check the little box and see how many of your tweets are retweeted. To me, that's a very good indicator of whether somebody thinks what you're saying is of value or not. If you go to your Facebook wall, for example, and you hit profile up in the upper right corner, and the only thing you see is your own post down there, and nobody's commenting, and nobody's liking your post, and nobody's engaging you in conversation, you're going to need to make an adjustment. Because now you're just marketing, and that's not going to work, right? But if you go to, like, my wall, you're going to see, my gosh, I don't really post a whole lot that people don't engage me in a conversation. That's partly because I do a pretty good job of providing as much value and content as I possibly can to enhance other people. Therefore, people want to engage me in a conversation. And it has to be in your mind. I go into Facebook or into LinkedIn or into Twitter with the mindset of what can I do to help people with their business? If I post a link to a tool or I'm promoting a tool or an event, I have very high integrity. I don't post anything or promote anything that I don't try and test myself, right? I have a couple of different software packages that I'm testing right now, and I had a buddy call me, and he wants me to do a conference call to his entire organization promoting this particular software. And I had to tell him, I'm like, I'm not ready. I found a couple of bugs. Until I find out where the bugs are and work them out, I'm not ready to release that. So you got to have some sort of level of integrity. I wouldn't just be posting random crap just to try to make a few clicks. If my reputation is that people know that I've tested it and that I use it myself and that I generated results, when I post something, a lot of people will buy it or at least give me the benefit of checking it out just based on the fact that they know that I have really high standards and I'm not just promoting a bunch of junk. Okay? So it's all in the mindset. Service is way more important because the business is coming from somebody else. If somebody refers me their grandmother, how am I going to treat Granny? If Granny is treated bad, I lose both Granny and the referral partner. But if I take Granny out for a walk and I buy her some chocolates and I make her comfortable, then I'm going to look like the hero. Service is way more important because the business, again, is coming from somebody else. You have to keep in mind the power of leverage. You got to be picky, right? My best friend is up in Seattle. He owns a property management company, right? I have 100% faith in how he runs his business because I know him as a best man at his wedding. I've been best friends with him for years. I'm very picky about who I would ask a friend of mine to handle their property. But Brandon up at Allegro Property Management is somebody that I would recommend all the time. Why? Because I know who he is and I know how he is as a person. I'm very picky. But because I'm picky, my referrals mean more to the people that get them. And I always embrace problems. I love problems because I call them breakdowns. Just through my business school, we call them breakdowns. Within breakdowns come breakthroughs, right? So if I've got a problem or somebody calls me and is cranky for whatever reason about some product or something doesn't work or whatever, I so go over the top to try to solve that problem or that situation that 9 times out of 10, that person's going to end up being a raving fan of me by the end of the phone call. You know, and I work with people. I have a product called 147 Ways to Generate Leads. Well, it's a fairly high price point. And there are some people that absolutely want it. They follow me. They want it. They've come to an event or whatever. To me, if I have to split it into two or three payments to help them get the product because I know it'll solve their problem, I'm totally willing to do that. I'm flexible. This is a business of relationships. Okay? And then getting referrals. Reward the people for giving you referrals, right? Kara sends me referrals. I then go over the top and help Kara out. Jason gives me a referral. When I'm in down in Dallas, anything I can do to help him build his business, I'm going to do because he gives me a testimonial. And then I use them. You got to use those testimonials. And the best example I can give you about how to use these, my buddy Brandon that I was just talking about, when he was getting married, he and his wife Jamie asked me to go with them to interview a DJ. And in that meeting, that DJ was talking. Now, it's a DJ for a wedding. I mean, how bad or good can different DJs be? I don't know. They play music, right? They play the chicken dance, the Macarena, the hokey pokey, you know, and usually Can't Touch This by MC Hammer, right? But what this guy did was so amazing. He actually basically said, I'm not even going to tell you what I do. I'm not even going to sell myself. I'm going to let my customers tell it. And he took out a stack of about 100 postcards that were evaluation forms from events that he had past customers fill out. And he slid them across, and every single card in the stack gave him 100% rating, right? Now, clearly, not everybody was happy that he's ever done that stuff for, but he overwhelmed us with how good he was by what other people were saying. The third-party validators sold us. We didn't even listen to it. We didn't watch an audition tape or anything. He was booked on the spot. So if I was in a hair salon, I'd have pictures of my clients with written testimonials. And when I'm out and about, go, I cut hair. Here's what other people say about me. Let them tell it. Because you want people to have a connection. Same with YouTube. I'm going to put Jason Regan's testimonial up on YouTube. Jason's going to get exposure because I'm going to tag him in the video. I'm going to drive people back to his Facebook page probably or his blog, and at the same time, I'm going to use it to my advantage, right? And remember what I was saying is Cedric and those guys came to me and asked for a testimonial, and now at awesometoolsuite.com, I'm their like number two testimonial. It says right there, Casey Eberhart, Los Angeles, California. My friend Bruce Waterman did this really cool watermark on there that embedded my website on there. It was awesome. And so I'm now leveraged on that, right? Bruce Waterman is one of the coolest people for graphics and video and helping people with video and video email and all this kind of stuff that I give him a testimonial anytime he needs it and vice versa. So give testimonials and then use them. And then finally, you want to do what I like to call lather, rinse, repeat. Okay? Now, some of you might be thinking that I'm reading the back of a shampoo bottle. But all I'm suggesting is you got to put all of this into practice all at the same time. It may seem like a tough thing to do, but it's about creating that mindset, right? Some of you will remember back in the 80s, there was a commercial. I believe it was for Clairol. And here's what occurred. You'll know exactly where I'm going with this. And they tell two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. They haven't run that commercial in almost 30 years, but I say that at events, and everybody follows along with it. It's the power of referral. Finally, I'm always swapping in and out the best referral players for me, right? I know who's giving me good referrals. I know who's giving me bad referrals. If somebody's consistently putting people in front of me that I don't want to work with, I'm going to try to find another raving fan, right? I know that Mary Lou Gehrman is going to give me the best referrals of all time. Why do I know that? Because she consistently does. Yvonne, my business coach, is going to put me in front of the best referrals she possibly can. Why? Because it's in their best interest to do so. Because they know that we've created this power referral alliance. Deanna Pepe in Arbonne, she knows that if she gives me a referral, I'm going to give her a referral and back and forth. Right? So, lather, rinse, repeat. Okay? So now I want to just go back to the beginning. I want to just do a quick review because I know we're running out of time and I want to respect your time. So remember, here are the key points throughout this whole thing just as a review. Relationships are everything. You must have a referral mindset. So number one is enhance your referability. Number two is you have to go out there and prospect for referrals. Number three, you need to network strategically. You're building a sales force out there. Much easier to build a sales force of 5 or 6 people to leverage your name out than running around trying to sell your service to one person at a time. A good friend of mine once said that you can only market to a finite number of people, but you can attract an infinite number of people. So give as many referrals as you get. I like to give a 10-to-1 ratio. For every one referral I get, I give 10 out. Okay? Because, again, you get back what you send out into the world, and I always use form when I'm networking: family, occupation, recreation, money. And when I'm at an event, I only talk to 5 main players: the 3 yappers, the organizer, and the speaker. Okay? Number 4 is target niches. The cliche works. Get rich in your niche. If you're a property manager, pick a niche and go for it. If you're in direct sales and you sell a health product, pick a niche and go for it. If you cut hair, pick a niche and go for it. You got to go where your prospects are. You got to be your prospects, even if that's not who you are. Contribute to their publications and get testimonials. Give as many testimonials as you get. I have to tell you, just as a side note, I just thought of this as we're going. I once did a testimonial for a friend of mine here in Los Angeles, and she put the little video up on her website, and I didn't really think anything of it. That website drives more traffic to my blog than almost any other single source of traffic outside of like a search engine, all because she put a link to my website from her testimonial. So it actually irritates me on some level, because that little testimonial ranks high in the search engines for terms that she chose, not me. Okay? Number 5 is put it all together. Remember that people spread the word. Go do a test on yourself. Go to your Facebook or go to your account and look at how much of your business is coming from other people. If none of your business is coming from other people or referrals, you are working uphill with this, I promise. Okay? You have to be in the mindset, and the service is always the way to do that. Embrace the problems. Take the breakdowns and create breakthroughs. Okay? People mostly just want to be heard. And then use testimonials to your advantage. When you get the testimonials, use them. Remember that DJ card story. I cannot tell you, that was years ago. I can still remember the room. I still remember the look on both Brandon and I's face when he just spread out these postcards all over the place. And finally, lather, rinse, repeat. This is the Clairol commercial we were talking about a while ago. You have to lather, rinse, repeat. You need to be in the mindset of referral generation at all times, regardless of where you are. And if you can keep this system in place and you can keep this mindset going when you're out and about and you're providing service to the people that have been referred to you, I promise you that you will be well on your way to getting much, much more out of your referring system, much more out of how you operate, and many, many more referrals will come your way. So I want to just take a second and acknowledge each and every one of you for not only participating in this call and this telesession, but also on the CD. It's really important that you keep in that referral mindset. And I want to just acknowledge you, because I know there are a million things that you could be doing, and the fact that you have taken the time out of your day to listen to this indicates that you are one of the top people that are looking to generate referrals. So if you'd like to get in contact with me, I'm really easy to find on any of the social networks. You can also reach me at kceberhart.com. That's my website. The blog is theidealnetworker.com. Have an absolutely amazing evening. Now go out and give one of your referral partners an absolutely awesome, awesome day. And we'll see you on the other side of a referral.